Good morning, good morning. Arisel here from Time to Shine. So today we're going to continue our study in the book of Micah, and we are in Micah chapter 2. So let's read it through and see what the Lord instructs us. So it says in verse 1, "Woe to those who scheme iniquity, who work out evil on their beds. When morning comes, they do it, for it is in the power of their hands." So as we can see, the people of Israel, they were committing sins, that they were plotting on their beds, and in the morning, they would do it. All sin is bad, but premeditated sin is worse, because you already have the time to think, calculate in your bed what were you going to do, or in your time to do whatever you want to do next. And so in this time, also the courts, the rising, it says in the morning, when the morning comes, there was an ancient tradition that the courts will be open in the sun rising moment. And this would demonstrate the light eliminating darkness. So they will forgive whatever sin they had committed. But the courts were corrupted, and those Micah continued to talk about to his people, to prophesy, and in some ways it took a long time for them to hear what Micah was saying. It took about approximately 16 to 25 years before the people of Israel recognized that he was a true prophet and what he was saying, and for them to obey what he was saying. So I'm going to continue. I will explain more on that. On verse 2 it says, "They covet fields and then seize them, and houses, and take them away. They rob a man and his house, and men and his inheritance." So they were practicing covetousness. And so the Lord, as we may know, he prohibits that. It's one of the Ten Commandments. And we can read Exodus 20:17, where it says, "You should not covet your neighbor's house. You should not covet your neighbor's wife, his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." So covetousness is a sin. God doesn't like that. He wants us to be content with what we have. He wants us to appreciate what he has given us. He provides all our needs, as it says in the New Testament. When we pray, when we seek him, when we knock, we shall find. And so the Lord wants us to trust him in whatever he gives us at any time in our lives. So let's continue. Verse 3 says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am planning against this family a calamity from which you cannot remove your necks, and you will not walk haughtily, for it will be an evil time. On that day, they will take up against you a taunt, and utter a bitter lamentation and say, 'We are completely destroyed. He has changed the portion of my people. How he remorses it from me.' To the opposite, he apportions or feels." So meaning, in other words, to the people that were prophesying, who were false prophets in that time, and they were prophesying, and they were dividing the fields of God, the fields of the people. "Therefore, you will have no stretching a measure line, for you by lot in the assembly of God do not speak out. So they speak out, but if they do not speak out concerning these things, reproach would not be turned back." So in this case, they were It says, do not speak out. So they were saying to Micah not to speak because of the what he was saying. And it was against what they wanted, the people of Israel wanted to do. So mainly it says not to prattle, not to talk about things, just to say things, foolishness maybe, to them that they didn't have a repentant heart. So then verse 7, it says, is it being said, O house of Jacob, is the spirit of the Lord impatient? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to the one walking uprightly? So as he was prophesying to the people, and he wanted to know if God's word wasn't true, wasn't satisfying, for they didn't want to listen to him. As I mentioned, he prophesied from 16 to 25 years before the people repented. He started prophesying in the kingdom of Jotham, and he was an evil king, and Ahath as well. They had evil, he was an evil king, and they did not listen. But then in the kingdom of Hezekiah, they responded, they obeyed, and they repented. And so God forgave them. So verse 8, it says, recently my people have risen as an enemy. You stripped off the garment from the unsuspecting passerby, from those returned from war. The woman of my people, you envied, each one from her pleasant house. From her children you take my splendor forever. Arise and go, for this is no place to rest, because the uncleanness that brings on destruction, a painful destruction. If a man walking after wind and falsehood had told lies and said, I will break out to you concerning wine and liquor. So they continued, didn't want to listen, and they wanted to just to drink. They just wanted to hear good things, that they wanted to hear more things about the things wrong and the things about the wrong things that they were doing. So it says, I will speak out to you concerning wine and liquor. He will be a spokesman to his people. I will surely assemble all of you, Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like a sheep in the fold, like a flock in the midst of its pasture. There will be noisy with them. Verse 13, it says, the breaker goes up before them. They break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. So their king goes on before them, and the Lord at their right, at their head. So in here, the breaker is a symbolization of Jesus. It says the breaker goes up before them. So God is our guidance. Jesus is our guidance. He is our leader. He is the one that we ought to look up to. He's the one that can assemble us, who can put us together. As it says in verse 12, it says, he assembles all of you. He gathered the remnant of Israel. That's his church. He put together like a sheep in the fold. He organizes us. And like a flock in the midst of his pasture, there will be noisy with men. So I will leave it there for today. But the main point here, I would say, is on verse 1, where they were committing premeditated sin. And the Lord really doesn't like that. He doesn't like that we commit premeditated things, because it is a sin. It is worse, because you're already plotting, you're already calculating, you're already thinking of how and where and to whom you were going to do something evil. And so the Lord doesn't like that. And also, one more thing I want to point out Okay, so covetousness in verse 2 is also a sin. God doesn't want us to be covet. He doesn't want us to covet. He wants us to receive what he has given us, to accept the blessings and the how he provides for our needs. I'm gonna read something here that I found online. It says, the word coram Deo, which is in Latin, it means before the face of God. So we are living, it means another meaning of it, the coram Deo is it is living in the presence of God. So we ought to remember that we live in the presence of God every day. Everything that we do is displayed before him. So no matter what sin, he sees it. No matter what we calculating, if we're calculating evil, he knows already. He already sees what you're planning. So covetousness is a cultivation of contentment, but not the absence of all desire, as in the Buddhism is mentioned. So it's not the absence of all desire, but a cultivation of contentment. So yeah, we ought to not to covet, not to desire the things of our neighbor, of our friends, of our families, not to covet for anything. We are to be thankful and offer gratitude for what God has provided to us today and anytime he has blessed us with things that we don't deserve and that we are far from him to recognize that he has given us those things. There might be little things and we don't recognize them. And those are the things that we ought to be thankful as well as the big things. So I'm gonna leave it there for today. I hope you have some time over to read Micah chapter 2 and see what the Lord instructs you, counsels you, and teaches you with, as it says in Psalm 32:8. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful Wednesday and stay encouraged and stay uplifted. Bye bye.